Good morning, welcome back to Nahiyami. We are learning Iyov Perek Hei, the fifth chapter of the book of Iyov today. And just to put things back into context, we know that at this point in time, Iyov's friends are now having the dialogue with Iyov. Iyov expressed his heartfelt pain at the experience that he's going through. His way of explaining it is that Hashem could not possibly have been dealing him the cards that he was being dealt. It must have been that Hashem abandoned him, and that's the only way he can deal with it. Into which Eliphaz, his first friend, jumps into the conversation. We saw the first half of Eliphaz's speech in Perek Dalad. The second half of Eliphaz's speech is in this Perek. Our Perek consists of 27 psukim. And there's essentially two main parts of his speech, but we'll go through it, break down in steps. The first seven psukim are the first part of this speech. Essentially, the way I'm going to look at it is in quarters. Eliphaz has a speech which rolls over two chapters, Dalad and Hay. We looked at the first two halves. We're looking at the second two halves or quarters, essentially, of Eliphaz's speech. So the third quarter of Eliphaz's speech is the first half of our Perek, which is the Aleph to Zion. And this is how it goes. The first part, actually, the starting words of this Perek should be a little chilling to us. Kerana. Call out, please. Corona. Call out, please. Hayesh Oneka. Is there anyone who's going to answer you, Iyov? And his point he makes in this first one is Iyov, if you think Hashem is not answering you because he doesn't care, you're not worthy of an answer, Iyov. Because in the end of the day, you know what? If a person puts themselves in a jeopardized situation, a person stays up all night, a person does not dress appropriately in the cold weather, a person eats too much, a person is immoral with their relationships, they're going to get sick. It's just the way it is. That's the way the world is. Don't think that if you call out to Hashem and you don't have an answer, that's because ultimately Hashem is not involved. It might be that you just forfeited your right to answer. That's the first point. You don't think that the silence is correct. The way the Malbim inserts it over here is Eliphaz says, maybe I'm the voice that you're supposed to be hearing from Hashem. Maybe I'm the messenger that Hashem sent because you're not worthy of a direct voice. And interestingly enough, Eliphaz is a little incorrect in this, in that we're going to see Hashem will intercede, but much later on. This Sefer is going to be very much a dialogue between between Iyov and his friends, a dialogue between them internally until the very, very end when Hashem intercedes. The second point he makes in this third quarter of his speech is a very powerful point. And he says, look, he says, you seem to be concerned about theodicy. You seem to be concerned about how it is that, you know, how can it be that fools make a rich very easily, and hardworking people spend their whole life being hardworking and just die in poverty. How does that work? So he says, you know what? Well, there's a fool who makes it, but it's never for long lasting. His kids lose their fortune very easily. You know, he says, I see that suddenly, boom, this fool gets a fortune. You know what? His children don't have any success. You look at these people, the statistics are that people who make it very, very wealthy, their kids, they don't have happy lives on the whole. There's statistical research which has shown this. Malcolm Gladwell talks about this in one of his books. It's fascinating. He says, you think they got a great life? He says, on the other hand, a person who works really hard may not have the riches, but they have continuity, they have children. You know what? He says, in the end of the day, the bottom line is, a human being was born to work. And these heat sources, these sparks, will fly away. What does this mean? The Malbim says it is the greatest currency in this life is to control your destiny. You are in control of your life. Your actions will dictate the type of life you will lead. No one else will dictate what can happen. B'nei Reshef Yag Bi'uf, according to many Mepharshim, referred to Shadim, to sort of semi-spiritual forces that might control you. It says, Iyov, stop hanging your hat on some sort of fate that's controlling your life. Stop saying that other things are in control of your life. You are in control of your life. Your work is your destiny. That's how you do it. Your actions are make you who you are. Don't blame it on anything else. By the way, this pasuk Zion, Kila Adam Amal Yulad, is a very, very famous pasuk. It's expressed in many, many different ideas. The general pshat idea is what the Malbim expressed, is that ultimately you're in control of your work. But there's other interpretations. Rav Schwab points out in his Pirush on Iyov that a person's lot in life is suffering. You know, a baby enters this world and experiences discomfort. It's a miracle when a baby is born, but at the same moment they experience cold air, light, all things which they never, loud noise, and they cry in discomfort. When a person passes away, many times it's in pain and suffering and in crying. And all the time in between is very difficult life circumstances. The Adam Amal Yulad. That's that, and B'nai Reshev Yag Bi'uf means to say that a person is extinguished like a spark going out. Meaning to say, understand Eov. Eov, life is not simple. Life is not easy. But you're in control of it. That's the first step of this discussion. It's fascinating. A lot of Hasidic ideas about what the word Amol stands for. Ki Od L'Adam Amol Yulad. Is it a Rosh Tevois for different ideas? Is it an acronym for the idea of Ayin, Ma'aver, and Loshon? There's lots of different ideas that are to be found in that, but not for right now. We move into the second and part of this parak, which is the fourth quarter of Eliphaz's speech, and this is from Ches to Chav Zayin. And the overview of this part of the speech is the following. Eov, now I give him my speech. You look around and you still say, you know what, you're telling me that Hashem's involved in the whole world. But at the end of the day, so why is it that there are people who make decisions and try to do things and it doesn't work out? They try to put their cards on the table in line and it just doesn't work out. Somebody has a better hand than them. How does that work out? So the first point he points out, he says, you know what, Hashem is in control of every element of this world. There's no part of this world that is a void of Hashem's presence. And he describes this by using the vision of rain. How rain sustains both the fauna and the flora of this entire world. Understand that. Hashem controls every element of this world. Point number two. He says, you know, you look at people, the people who have these great, intricate thoughts, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will snub them out. They'll stop their thoughts. Like as an example, Marvin says, Achitofel wanted to give bad advice to Avshalom to get David killed, and Hashem didn't want that to happen, and Avshalom did not listen to his advice. Or, as an example, you might say, that in the very same wiseness that these sages expressed, that's what ultimately captures them themselves. So like, for instance, the brothers of Yosef wanted to extinguish the dreams of Yosef, ended up selling him down to Egypt, which made him who he became, which is the king that he was describing in his dreams. So you look at all these things, and you say to yourself, well, how is this? You know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still the one doing that. Meaning Eov, don't tell me that when plans don't work out, it's because some sort of supernal force, some sort of force of nature, which is taking control. No, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And why does he do that? Vayosha, the next is point number three. You know why Hashem does this? Because he rectifies the balance of society. If Hashem were to leave society to rectify itself, there would be a terrible group of cruel brutes who'd run all of society, and the most vulnerable would be snuffed out very easily. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want that. Hashem has a destiny for humankind, so sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to adjust the temperature of society, has to adjust the balance of power. And that's why he does it, but it's him. It's not anything else as you would want to see it. And therefore, he goes on to explain why does this happen. And this is his fourth and last point in this parak. He says, you know what? Don't reject when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets involved and hurts you. You know why? Because you know what it could be? It's like the doctor who's putting on he's putting on the splint, and it's terribly painful as he ties on that band-aid, as he ties on that very tight band-aid. But you know what? It's stopping the spread. It's cutting off the blood flow in order to be able to make the healing go faster. You're not going to be pouring out as much blood as tying the tourniquet. You know what? Is ultimately saving you, even though there's pain. The way Malvim says it is whether it be to cleanse something of the past or to fix some of the missteps in the future. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing this. And he gives very graphic examples where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do this. He might allow you to experience six maladies in order for you to be saved from the seventh one. You may be slandered and housebound, but you'll be saved from other problems at your door. And he gives numerous examples of where you may think this is bad, but ultimately it's saving you from a worse evil. In the end of the day, he concludes, you'll know that there's peace in your tents. What does that mean? The Malvim says, even the three things which are not dependent on actions, which we say is bonei chayim mezone, that is children, health, and sustenance, our jobs, which we say that doesn't depend on a person's merit. It's only on b'mazla. Even those are from Hashkacha, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't say there's any element of this world which is by chance, is a Russian roulette. It doesn't work like that, Eov. You can't blame all the problems in your life on something else. And it's interesting that this pasuk V'yadata ki shalom alecho is actually in on Shabbos daf Nun Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. We're describing the Mishnah about how a person should talk to the people at their house. It should be benachas. It should be where that person speaks nicely when asking about how the Shabbos preparations are. And he concludes his speech by saying, Hine zois chakarnuha kenhi. I know this is, I've looked into this, I've logically anticipated all of this, and this is the way it is. Shemena vato adaloch. You should listen and you'll know this is the truth. What the Malbim points out over here is that he's not saying this is a prophecy. Unlike the first half of his speech in Perek Dalet, where he actually described a vision that he had at night. This is not a vision. This is logically, I've sat on the philosopher's stone, I've thought about it, and I've logically come to the conclusion that this is the way of the world. So Eov, therefore, he's not giving it as much credence as the prophecy itself, but listen to me because I have the truth. If you listen, you're going to understand this. You'll notice over here that although he doesn't directly accuse Eov, but in a veiled way, he's essentially saying, Eov, therefore, what's the therefore at the end of this whole long speech of these two prokem? If everything in the world is under the control of Hashem, and if when a person suffers, there's reasons for it, then Eov, there must be a reason, whether it be in your past or in your future, whether it be something which is being fixed or not. You need to understand where it's coming from. He doesn't say that directly. He doesn't want to step on Eov's toes at this point in the speech. But at this point, as he closes it, he says, you know what, Eov, you really need to do a looking in yourself. This leaves us at the end of Eliphaz's first speech. We're now going to see Eov's rejoinder. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.